Be turning in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Those of you that were here this past Sunday will know that whenever we were began looking here in this chapter, that we discovered a church that had been in what we have called a state of chaos. And that is that they were a church that was going through a difficult time. When you read the first letter that Paul wrote to them, you'll find there were many struggles that was going on in the life of the church. And there was much division. There was immorality. There was idolatry. There was drunkenness taking place in the life of the church. There were all kinds of struggles. Their worship services were chaotic. And the apostle had to write to them in chapter 14 particularly to give them some order and structure in their gatherings when they gathered together for their worship time in their assemblies. They were having a struggle with those who didn't believe in the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the dead. And Paul wrote in chapter 15 to straighten out that issue as well. And so there was a lot of struggle, a lot of chaos in the life of the church in the city of Corinth. Apparently, the first letter really helped. And the reason why is because when we get to the second letter, it looks as though that the apostle is trying to teach them how to live and walk and experience the comfort of God. So when you move from one letter to the other, you're moving from what we might think of as chaos to comfort. As a matter of fact, the idea of God's comfort or the idea of comfort is used a lot in the book of 2 Corinthians. The book kind of begins with the idea of comfort right here in verses 3 and 4 where the Bible tells us that God is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation. It ends the same way in chapter number 13 and verse 11 where the Bible tells these believers to be of good comfort. And so the idea seems to be from the beginning to the end, one of the themes that runs through this entire book is the idea of comfort or the idea of God's comfort in their lives. Let me just remind you again, when we're dealing with the word comfort, that we are dealing with a word that describes the idea of coming alongside and helping. So it's a sort of a combined word of help and coming alongside. And the idea seems to be that God is there with us and He is there to help us. God coming right alongside of us in order to provide the help that we need in life. And that is to comfort us. That is, sometimes we need God, we need to be motivated. And by the way, God operates through lots of different ways, but sometimes the help we need is in the area of motivation. Sometimes the help that we need is in the area of being rebuked for our sin, confronted with our sin, so we can repent and get right. Sometimes the help we need is to get through a difficult time. That's what we would think of normally. But I tell you that most importantly, we need help to grow, don't we? And to become everything that God has saved us to be. And God is present in our life, and He's trying to help us to become everything that He's purposed for us to be, that is, those of us who are saved. And that's sort of what the letter is moving towards. That is, the letter of 2 Corinthians is trying to move these believers in that direction. And that is to move them beyond the chaos that their church has been to a church that's walking in the comfort of God. That is, God is at work in their life, molding them into what He wants them to be, and moving them in the direction they need to go in, that they're experiencing God's presence and His work in their lives. Now, if you and I are going to move from sort of chaos to comfort, and by the way, let me just remind you that you may find yourself sort of in chaos as well. That is, when you think about your job, or you think about your family, or you think about the world that we live in, if you think about our culture, it is a chaotic culture that we live in. So how are we going to be able to walk in comfort, God's comfort, in the middle of chaos, moving from chaos to comfort? Well, we've discovered in the service on Sunday that as the apostle writes to them, he writes to them about the position that we are in verse number 1. He tells us that we are the church. That is, these believers in Corinth are the church of God. And he also reminds them that they are the saints of God as well. You see, if you and I are going to be able to walk in comfort and not be caught up in chaos, if our life is not always going to be chaotic, but if we're going to walk in the comfort of God, first of all, we need to understand the position that we are in, that we are the church of God, and that we are indeed the saints of God. The second thing that we discovered is the possessions that we have received. Let me remind you that in verse number 2, that the apostle just uses a little phrase that he uses a lot whenever he is introducing a letter to believers. And he writes and he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that little phrase there about grace and peace be unto you is not just a cliche. It's not just a little saying that he kind of throws in there. The Apostle Paul really believes that those who are the redeemed of God have received and can walk in grace and peace. That God's grace has not only saved us, but it is God's grace that strengthens us. It is God's grace that sustains us. And he writes about that grace later on in this book in chapter number 12, where he writes about the thorn in the flesh, where Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." The grace of God that provided salvation for us is the same grace that is sufficient to provide everything that we need throughout the rest of our life and on into eternity. God's grace is sufficient, and his peace is what wonderful. Listen, the way to escape and move from chaos to comfort is to be able to walk in peace. That is the peace that we have in Christ. If you're in Christ, you can have a heart and a life that is characterized by peace. And I talked a little bit about that Sunday morning, about the possessions that we have received. If you were here Sunday night, we began looking at verse number 3, and we discovered the praise that we ought to offer. In verse number 3, he starts off by saying, "Blessed be God." And some of you remember when I said, when I was preaching to you, I said that word blessed is a word that means to praise. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that is translated blessed there is the very word that we get our English word eulogy from. When you think of the word eulogy, most of the time you think of a funeral service where somebody gets up and eulogizes and they praise the person who has passed away. They say a lot of good things about them. That's really what the word literally means, is to say a good thing. And do you know that the Bible is telling us here that's what we ought to do with God? And that is, we ought to say good things to and about God. That is, we ought to praise him. And we ought to worship him. We ought to use our words to speak well of him and to speak well to him. We ought to be eulogizing our Lord, speaking well of him. We ought to just go ahead and praise him. Do you know that when you're going through times of difficulty in your life and times of struggle in your life and things aren't going well, it seems like that your health is chaotic and your wealth is chaotic, and it seems like family life maybe, I mean, just things are chaos, and you look at the culture and you see chaos everywhere you turn. One of the things that God is trying to teach us who are his redeemed, and that is that right in the middle of all the chaos, that we can just go right on praising him. No matter what our circumstances are, if everything's running smooth, you ought to praise him. But I tell you, if everything is chaos, you ought to praise him anyway. As a matter of fact, one of the ways, one of the keys to moving from chaos to comfort is just go ahead and praise him. Right in the middle of your circumstances. And God is worthy of our praise. Right here in verse number 3, let me remind you of those things that are revealed here about God that makes him worthy of our praise no matter what circumstances that we are in. First of all, because he's God. Amen. He is God. That's right. The Bible says here, blessed be God. Our God, listen to me, the God of the Bible really is the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God. He really is God. Not only is he God, but he's the Father, the Bible tells us, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that sent the Son into the world. John 3:16, he loves you. Listen, I don't know about you, but that moves me right over into the area of comfort, even if I'm living in chaos, when I think about how much God loves me. That he sent his Son to die for me on the cross. He not only is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he's the Father of mercies. And the idea seems to be that God is a compassionate God. The idea of mercy is God has pity or compassion on us. We are the objects of his compassion and his pity. We really are. You know, he really does care about everything going on in your life. He's compassionate toward you. And listen, that'll help you. It'll comfort your heart if you'll think about that just for about 2 seconds. Amen. God's mercy towards you. Every day, the Bible tells us, every morning, his mercies are new. His pity and compassion in your life. And then we discover that he is also the God of all comfort. The Bible tells us there in verse number 3, that he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us, verse 4, in all of our tribulation. What we're seeing there is that the reason why we ought to praise him is because our God is with us, helping us. That's the idea of comfort. That is, he's not only compassionate towards us, that's mercy. He not only loves us, He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only knows everything about us because He is God, but He also is with us, present with us for the purpose of helping us. That's what the word comfort means. God is with us, helping us because He loves us and because He's merciful towards us and because He is God. And for that reason, He is with us, helping us no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of affliction that we face, no matter what kind of discouragement that we might go through. He is our comforter. And that's why we ought to praise Him. Now listen, if there's anybody that knew anything about chaos, this man Paul did. That is the author of this letter. As a matter of fact, in verse number 8, he writes about a trouble that came to him while he was ministering in Asia that got so bad that Paul writes here and said he was pressed out of measure, above strength, and even despaired of life. It got so bad, the pressure got so bad, the situation that he was in got so bad that he did not think that he was going to live through it, that he had the strength to make it through whatever it was that he was going through. He didn't think he was going to make it through. He thought that he was going to die, probably referring to a time of persecution that he was going through. Now, you may have never been in a situation like that, but you may be, and you may have been in circumstances where you thought the pressure was great, where you thought it might be beyond your strength. Maybe even some of you thought you weren't going to make it through that situation. Suffering, a time of suffering, a time of chaos in your life. The Bible tells us here that Paul went through times like that. And even in the middle of all that despair and all that trouble and all that chaos that he was going through, he found out that there is a God who is with us and who helps us in the middle of all of that. He's the God of all comfort. Now, after telling us in verse 3 that God is the God of all comfort, the Apostle Paul expounds on that idea in the following verses, which is the focus that we're looking at in the service tonight. And that is that he begins to just expand on this idea of God's comfort. There may have been at least two or three reasons why that he's doing this. It may well be that there are those who are attacking the Apostle Paul. That is, he's under attack. There are false teachers who are trying to destroy the credibility of this man so as to destroy his message. And it may be that one of the things that they were saying about him is that if he was a real man of God, that is a real soldier of the cross, if he was really God's man, he wouldn't be going through all of this suffering and all of this affliction and all of these problems. All the stuff he's going through is just a sure sign that he's not everything that he says he is. You ought to be listening to us. We're not going through all of that. So Paul gives an explanation in 2 Corinthians and explains why it is that God is allowing him to go through all this kinds of suffering, and we're going to see part of that tonight. Why would God, if you're really a man of God, Paul, why would you be going through all of this suffering and all of this struggle in your life? And by the way, the teaching that we have here really flies in the face of the prosperity preachers of our day. And reveals the argument that is being laid out by maybe the false teachers in Paul's day and some of those who are espousing this kind of health and wealth doctrine in our day flies in the face of what Scripture really reveals about suffering. And that is that the Apostle Paul, that God's grace, that God's strength, that God's presence was real in his suffering, that God had a purpose for it and God was using it and God was sufficient to bring him through it as well. Whenever you read about Paul's suffering, he writes in chapter 2 and verse number 4 about his much affliction, anguish of heart, and many tears. In chapter 6 and verse 4, he talks about afflictions, necessities, and distresses. He knew what suffering was all about. But in the middle of all of that, God was with him. But I believe he's also trying to help these believers. Not only is he defending his apostleship against those who are trying to attack him, but he's also trying to help these believers experience God's very best in their lives. And that is that in the middle of the chaotic circumstances that they might be living in, that they can experience the presence of God and the help of God and the comfort of God, that we've got a God who is right here with us in this life, and we can experience joy and peace in our hearts instead of sinking in despair and discouragement as we go through this chaotic life. God is the God of all comfort. Think with me for just a moment about the setting of God's comfort. In what kind of a setting do we experience the comfort of God? When you start reading the Bible, you'll find out that God is with us to help us all the time. Remember Hebrews 13:5, where the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes we get the idea that, whenever everything is going good and circumstances in our lives are going well and everything's rosy and bright, that God's with us and that's when he's helping us. But when the dark clouds of trial and tribulation begin to appear in our life and we enter into a storm of life, as we're journeying through life and the storms are raging around us, somehow there are those who believe that somehow God has forgotten about us and he has forsaken us and that he's not with us to help us. But in reality, what we're learning about in this passage of Scripture, that it's in this kind of setting, in trials and tribulation, in the chaos of the storms of life, that God is with us. Even in that setting, God is with us and he is helping us. Look at verse number 4 again. The Bible says that he comforts us in all our tribulation. Did you see it? Look at verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. As suffering abounds, consolation or comfort also abounds. That is, as the more the suffering increases, the more his comfort increases, the Bible tells us here. It abounds. Notice with me verse number 7. And I hope of you, that is, Paul said, my hope of you is steadfast, knowing as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. In other words, Paul is saying, I have confidence that you're also going to be willing to suffer for Christ's sake, and I know this, and that is, if you suffer, it's in that suffering that you'll also share in his consolation or in his comfort. As you suffer, he will comfort you. Do you know that's true? That really is the setting of God's comfort. And that is that God comforts us when we're going through trials and tribulations and struggles in life. Let me just read you a few verses out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God is talking to his people. I love what he says in chapter 41 and verse number 10 of this same book, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said, I'm with you, and I'll strengthen you, and I'll help you. You know what that's called in New Testament terms? That's called comfort. The presence of God with us, helping us, no matter what it is that we're going through. The psalmist wrote about it in Psalm 46. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means he's with us and helping us win right in the middle of our troubles. Therefore, will we not fear? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, it is words describing chaos. The mountains are shaking, and the waters are roaring, and the mountains are being carried into the sea. The earth is being removed. It's a scene of chaos, and yet the psalmist says, I will not be afraid, and the reason why is because God is with me, he's present with me, and he is helping me. Now that's real comfort. Y'all know the 23rd Psalm, don't you? Y'all know the heart of that Psalm of verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? Thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they sure do. But when you got the shepherd walking through the dark valley with you, no matter what's in that valley, no matter what kind of trouble or trial or struggle there is, and he's got his rod and his staff, you are comforted, you are helped, you're protected in the middle of that struggle. I love what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 15. Listen to what it says. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 15, God said, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, the Bible says. And will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. Speaking to Jacob, he said, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God made a promise. I am with you, and I'm promising that I'm going to bring you back into this land. I will not leave you. You know what God said to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse number 12 when he was calling him to that task? Listen, that mountainous task of delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, certainly I will be with thee. Remember what he said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 1? Listen to these words. The Bible says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. When you're going out to battle and you're going up against an army that's bigger and badder than you are, hey, don't be afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God will help you. Now that's the kind of comfort that we're reading about in the New Testament. And that is, when you're facing the enemy, when you're going through struggles, when you're up against something that's bigger than you are, listen, God will help you. He'll be with you and He'll help you. That's the promise of our Lord in Matthew 28:20, when He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. That is, with every generation, that He will be with us. I'm just trying to get you to see about the comfort of God. And that is, that God, the setting of God's comfort. You say, when does God comfort me? Is it when everything's going well? No, it's when you're right in the middle of a problem bigger than you are. You're right in the middle of a struggle that you don't think you're going to be able to make it through. Whenever the clouds are dark and the storm is raging and chaos is all around you, it is then that you and I discover God as our comforter. It's then. You see, Paul's writing to believers who were being persecuted for the gospel's sake, and that's what he is going through as well. And in the middle of that kind of chaos and that kind of persecution and opposition, God was right there with him, helping them in the middle of it. When you think about the setting of God's comfort, you have to think about trials and tribulations. He also writes here about the scope of God's comfort. And that is, the scope of God's comfort is revealed to us by the little word, the three letters, A-L-L, the little word, all. First of all, the Bible tells us here that our God, in verse number 4, is the God of all. Excuse me, in verse number 3, He's the God of all comfort, isn't He? There's that little word. And that is, that God is the one who has the monopoly on comfort. That is, God has all comfort, and He makes all comfort available. He has all grace, according to verse number 1. And I tell you, He's the God of all grace, and He's the God of all comfort. Real comfort, ladies and gentlemen, has one source, and that's from God. And He is the one who's able to comfort us, no matter what it is that we're going through. He's the God of all comfort. If you want to find comfort, God is the one who has comfort to reach your situation, no matter what it is. You see, a lot of people are turning to a lot of different things today to try to find some kind of comfort. We live in a confused world. It's a perplexed world. It's a chaotic world. People living in chaos. Homes are in chaos. Workplaces are in chaos. Our politics are in chaos. People's thought lives are in chaos. Their souls are in chaos. And in the middle of all of that, people are yearning for some kind of peace. They're yearning for some kind of comfort. And yet the one who is able to give real and lasting comfort, the one whose comfort is able to reach every situation, is God. He is the God of all comfort. He's the source of it. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that God comforts us in all of our tribulations. So when you think about the scope of God's comfort, you have to see the word all. He's the God of all comfort. And by the way, He's the God who comforts us in all of our tribulation. In other words, God is the one who's comforting us in every situation that we might face. When I think of the word comfort, and when you do, we get the idea that God is there with us to comfort us when we lose a loved one. Or maybe when we're in the hospital. And that God comforts us in times like that. But He does, and He does. But I tell you, He's the God of all comfort. And that means that God is able to be with us and help us in every situation, in every circumstance, in every trial, in every time of chaos that we face. That means that in times of bereavement, God is there with us to help us. It means in time of sickness, God is there with us to help us. It means in time of poverty, God is there with us to help us. It means in times of family stress, God is there with us to help us. It means when work is out of control, God is there with us to help us. It means when persecution and opposition comes, God is there with us to help us. It means when times of disappointment and distress come into our life, God is there with us to help us. No matter what, no matter what life may hurl at us, no matter what kind of chaos may come to us, God's comfort is suited for every kind of tribulation, every kind of trial. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. The scope of God's comfort, therefore, reaches into every area of our life. It reaches into our spiritual life. It reaches into our physical life. It reaches into our personal life. It reaches into our family life. It reaches into our work life. It reaches into our social life. God's comfort reaches everywhere. That is, He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation. No matter what we go through, God is there to help us. Remember verse 7, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you're partakers of the sufferings, you shall also be of the consolation. That is, the more suffering, the more consolation, no matter what it is that you're going through, that God will be there to comfort you. As a matter of fact, in verse number 5, the Bible uses the word abound. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word abound means out of the boundaries. In other words, when suffering gets out of the boundaries and becomes overwhelming, God's comfort gets out of the boundaries and is able to match the suffering. Amen. No matter how much suffering you go through, even if it gets completely out of bounds, even if it's overwhelming, even if it gets out of the ordinary. You say, Pastor, I'm going through something that is not, it's out of the ordinary for me. And it's just beyond what I've ever experienced in my life. Listen, God's comfort is also out of the ordinary. Listen, when suffering gets extraordinary, God's comfort gets more extraordinary. Out of the ordinary. Talking to you about God's comfort. And that is the scope of it. No matter what comes your way, God's comfort is there to help you and to lift you up and to strengthen you. Listen, He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. So what we're learning about when we think about the God of all comfort, we're learning here about the scope of God's comfort. I want you to think with me thirdly about the source of God's comfort. That is, by what source and how does God make His comfort available to us? How does God's comfort become a reality in our life? Because we don't want just talk theology here, do we? In other words, just sort of theological concepts. Because that doesn't get you through the experience in life. How does this become a reality in my life? Let me just mention, first of all, that the entire Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are involved in this ministry of comfort. All three of them are. Right here in chapter 1 of verse number 3, the Bible tells us the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who's the God of all comfort. So we know that God the Father is the one who is the God of all comfort. The Father is the one who's actively involved and engaged in the ministry of comforting you. We also know, according to the Bible, that not only is the Father, but also the Son is our comforter as well. Why, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. Remember that little word advocate in 1 John 2, 1? That word advocate comes from the same Greek word as comforter. That's right. Here's what it means, and that is that not only do we have God the Father as our comforter, but we have God the Son as well. You see, this word comforter is a legal term. It's like a lawyer. A comforter is like a lawyer who goes along beside you in the court of law to help you. That's why it's translated advocate in 1 John 2, 1, but it means the same thing. Not only is God the Father going along with us in times of trouble, but I tell you, God the Son is too. He is our advocate. He is the one who represents us. He is our comforter. But we also know that not only God the Father and God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit is as well. In John chapter number 14, when Jesus was with His disciples in the upper room, He started teaching them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. After He leaves, He says the Spirit of God is going to come. Listen to what He says about Him in John 14:16. He said, I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter. That's right. And that word another means another one just like me. He's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God had been with them. That is, as they were with Christ, Jesus was filled with the perfect fullness of the Holy Spirit in every way, and they were around the Spirit. But one of these days, that same Spirit is going to be abiding on the inside of them. And Jesus refers to the Spirit of God here as the Comforter. Jesus is going away, and he's going to be their advocate there at the right hand of the Father. But there's going to be somebody right on the inside of them living in their hearts. And I tell you who he is, God the Holy Spirit. And he's a Comforter just like Jesus is a Comforter. And just like the Father and just like the Son, the Holy Spirit is with us to help us as we journey through this life, and he's living on the inside of us. So the entire Godhead is involved in the ministry of comforting. Now that's important for us to understand, I believe. It's a blessing for you and I to know that Almighty God, the God of the universe, is our Comforter. Now when you get thinking about who God is, and the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all three involved in helping you, you can't lose. As a matter of fact, you might kick up your heels and praise God right in the middle of your trouble when you realize who's with you, helping you in the middle of your trouble. You might just start praising him like Paul did right here in the middle of your tribulation. The entire Godhead is involved in comforting us. What a blessed thing it is to know that. But I want to call your attention here in 2 Corinthians 1, that the Apostle Paul singles out one particular person of the Godhead as the source of God's comfort. He highlights one particular one in verse number 5. Notice with me verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. In other words, as these folks live out the Christian life, it's going to automatically bring suffering. There's going to be deprivation. They're going to be fired from their jobs. They're going to be deprived of certain things just because of the Christians. There's going to be persecution mounted against them because of Christ. The sufferings of Christ are going to abound in their life. And he said, so our consolation also aboundeth. And then there's that little phrase, by Christ. It abounds by Christ. So in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul is pointing out the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, as the source of God's comfort. Now if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three involved in the ministry of comforting, why does Paul particularly point out Christ as the source of our comfort? Well, I would say that there may be a couple of reasons. One is because we're suffering for him. And so the apostle wants to highlight for us that our comfort comes from the same one that we're suffering for. But I believe that even beyond that, I think that all of us understand, I don't know how God could become a man, but he did. And I don't know how, you know, it's impossible for us to understand exactly how we have, you know, the little illustrations we use. It's impossible for us to understand how the Godhead functions. Our minds are too limited to get wrapped around how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit function as one God, yet in three distinct persons. And yet we know that it's true, and therefore we know that one night, some 2,000 years ago, there was a little baby born in a stable down there in Bethlehem. And we know that he was a little baby just like you or I were little babies. We know that he cried when he got hungry and had to be fed, and his diaper changed. He had to be cared for by his mother. And that one who was born, of course, you know who he is. It was Jesus. But we know that it was no ordinary a baby. We know that while he was born naturally, he was conceived supernaturally by a virgin because of the power of the Holy Spirit who moved upon her. So that the one conceived in her and born by her was indeed the very God of the universe. That is the second person of the Godhead. And we read about him in the Bible. We read about how that Jesus grew up in the city of Nazareth. We read, of course, about his experiences in life as he ministered for some 3 years here on this planet. We read about the times that he was hungry. We read about the times that he was thirsty. We read about the times times that he experienced pain. We read about how that he was rejected. Listen, if you've ever been rejected, he was rejected much more. How he was despised of men. We read about how that he was tempted by the devil. You say, Pastor, I don't know whether God can help me in this temptation. He was tempted by the devil in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tormented by the devil, attacked by the devil, and attacked by the devil's crowd. He stood by the graveside of somebody that he loved, and he wept tears as he stood there with the sisters Mary and Martha, that Jesus began to weep at the graveside of Lazarus. He knows what that feels like when grief comes into a person's heart. He knows what it is to be reviled. He knows what it is to be ridiculed. Listen, he knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to bleed. He knows what it is to die. As a matter of fact, nobody has suffered like Jesus suffered. He went to the very depths of suffering as he hung there on that cross, not just physically suffering, indeed he was, but bearing our sins in his own body as he hung there on the tree. Nobody has ever suffered like Jesus suffered. So when I get to going through a time of discouragement, when I get to going through a time of distress, when I'm experiencing a little bit of sickness or maybe some pain, whenever I'm going through a time of bereavement or despair in my life, Whenever I'm nearing the doorway called death, guess who knows how I feel? He sure does. Jesus does. He's been there through the experiences of life that we go through. And there he is now, our advocate, comforter, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And do you know when those times of trial and tribulation come into our life, he invites us to come to him. Right. Just come to him through the word and prayer and find the rest, the comfort that we need. Don't you love what he said in Matthew 11? Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, right, and I will give you rest. Don't you love Hebrews chapter 4, my favorite verses? I probably use them a lot when I'm preaching. You may want to count up the times and keep track of it. Here's one more if you're keeping track. For we have not, Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have this one at the right hand of the Father, who knows what we're going through, who's touched by what we're suffering, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you know in the fact that he suffered so much for us, Hebrews 2:18, he's able to succor or help and comfort those who come to him. Oh, listen, there's nobody can help you like Jesus can. When you think about God's comfort, he's the source of God's comfort because he knows what we're going through. He knows how we feel. If you've ever been rejected by family, think about his family. Think about his family. Think about his brothers who rejected him and would not believe on him until well after the resurrection. And when you read the Gospels, you find that they even got their mama to come with them one time and do a sort of an intervention, try to confront Jesus. And that's the occasion when Jesus said, listen, my family, my brothers and sisters are those who do the will of my Father. What I'm trying to get you to see is he knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be despised. He knows what it is to have his family turn against him and not believe on him. He knows what it is to have the people in his own town of Nazareth become so infuriated with him that they take him outside the city and they're going to cast him off of the cliff that the city was built on. They're going to kill him, and Jesus had to walk out of his own hometown. He knows what that feels like. He's been through the experiences that you and I face in life. And folks, listen. He's alive in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, knows how you feel. And by the way, he knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need. As a matter of fact, he knows better what you need than you do yourself. And when you come to him in those times of trial and tribulation, guess what? He's right there to help you. He's rich in grace, plenteous in mercy, and he can help you in your time of need. You ought to just run to Jesus and tell him. You know, we got a hymn in our hymnal. Right there in your hymnal, about page 430, says, I must tell Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, when things get rough, when they get tough, But it's not looking so good. When you're distressed and discouraged, guess what do? You just tell Jesus. Get to the throne of grace, and He'll help you. He's the source of God's comfort. There's another final thought I want to think with you about in the moments we have left, and that is the sharing of God's comfort. Look at verse number 4 again. Back in our text now. Chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says that the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now listen to this next phrase. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look at verse number 6. You'll see it again. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In other words, it's what the apostle is saying. He said, listen, the afflictions that I go through and the suffering that I go through, it's for you. That is, it's for your comfort and for your salvation. He may be referring here to the fact that the suffering that he went through to go to Corinth and to share the gospel, and the suffering and persecution that he had to endure to get the gospel to them, but also the suffering that he has to endure to help them to grow as believers as well. That is, in order for them to be comforted, he had to go through a period of suffering. As a matter of fact, if you could feel the anguish of his heart in the first letter to the Corinthians, listen, he writes about it here in this letter. He said, when I wrote that letter to you, I wrote it with anguish in my heart. And I know, he says, when I wrote that first letter to you, it brought discomfort to you, but it brought good discomfort to you because of the fact that you repented and got right with God, and now you're comforted. So he said, listen, I had to go through a time of discomfort to help you experience comfort. That's the idea here in this passage. And that is that a lot of times you and I go through a time of suffering so that we can be comforted, so we can turn around and help somebody else and comfort them as well. It's just the sharing of God's comfort. The Bible's teaching us here that one of the reasons why God allows us to go through suffering is so that we might experience His comfort, and so that in turn we'll be able to comfort somebody else, so we can share what it is that we've experienced. You know, a lot of times in times of suffering, most of us are prone only to think of ourselves, aren't we? And to forget everybody else. I want you to think about this a little bit. And that is, when things are going rough in your life, who are you really thinking about? Yourself? I mean, when things aren't going the way you had them planned, whenever you talk to somebody, what is it that you share with them? Probably, but most of us, we share with them how it's affecting us and how it's disturbing us and how it is bothering us. Well, listen to me now. One of the reasons why that God allows trials to come into our lives is so that it can be a blessing to others. We go through times of suffering so that others can be blessed. That's what Paul's writing about in these verses. I went through all this struggle, these trials, this tribulation for your salvation and your comfort or consolation, so that you could be helped, so that you might be comforted, so you could be helped. You know, maybe that God's allowing you to go through that in your life so that you can be an instrument or a channel of comfort and encouragement to somebody else, so you can help other people. Sometimes it's hard to know why God allows us to suffer. Let me suggest a few reasons. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin and rebellion. Jonah did, didn't he? Remember Jonah, when God told him to go to Nineveh and he disobeyed God and went the other way and ended up in the middle of a storm and then in the belly of a whale? Remember that story? Man, he went through a time of suffering. Listen, going through that storm, being cast into the water, being swallowed up by a whale, swimming around in a whale's belly cannot be good circumstances. I doubted if there was any air conditioning, colored TV, or carpeting down there. Nasty place. Chaotic circumstances he was in. The reason why he was in those circumstances is because he sinned and rebelled against God. Sometimes we suffer because God wants to keep us from sinning. Sometimes we suffer because we have sinned. Sometimes we suffer because God's trying to keep us from sinning. That's what Paul writes about later on this book, 2 Corinthians 12, whenever he writes about that thorn in the flesh that God gave him, that messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, that God gave to him. You know the reason why God allowed the devil to bring whatever suffering and affliction that was in Paul's life? Paul says in that passage in 2 Corinthians 12, it's so that he won't get puffed up with pride. There was a real temptation for this man because of all the visions and revelations that he had had from God to get puffed up with pride. And so God allowed the devil to attack his life to keep him humble and dependent on God. So sometimes we suffer because we've sinned. Sometimes we suffer because God is trying to keep us from sinning. Sometimes God allows suffering into our life to mold our lives and character to become more like Him, just to grow us and to strengthen us and to teach us how to become more like Him. But do you know that there are also times when God allows suffering to come into our lives so that somewhere down along the line, we'll be able to put our arm around somebody else and comfort them. Paul's a great example of this. Many, many times God allowed him to suffer. But folks, in the middle of that suffering, God was always there to help him and to comfort him. And the reason why that God allowed Paul to go through all of that was not punishment for something that he had done, but it was preparation for what he was going to do. Not punishment for what he had done, but preparation for what he was going to do so that he could minister to other people. So he could reach people with the gospel, so that he could help believers to grow, so that he could help them in the middle of suffering, just like he's writing to these Corinthians. If he hadn't have been what he went through, if he had not been through those experiences, he would not be able to write what he's writing in this book. You know, it seems like that in just about every church, there are mature saints of God who have suffered, and in their suffering have experienced God's comfort and grace and strength in the middle of it. And those people are encouragers in the church. They can put their arms around somebody who's suffering and minister the comfort of God to their souls. But if they hadn't have ever suffered themselves, if they hadn't gone through that experience, as chaotic and difficult and hard as it was, they wouldn't have been able to comfort others like they do. You see, God allows us to experience His comfort in times of trial and times of tribulation, so that we might be able to share that comfort with others who are going through times of suffering as well. So see, it's not all about you. When trouble comes your way, it's not about you. It may not be about you at all. Examine yourself. Make sure that God's not chastising you because of some sin. If He is, get right with God and do it as quick as you can. But just remember this. It may be that God is preparing you to help somebody else. And listen, when you see that, when you get a hold of that idea, that concept, all of a sudden now you find out you can start praising God right in the middle of that suffering. You see, before, when your focus is on yourself, all you're thinking about is yourself. You're thinking about how it hurts you. You're thinking about how it affects you. You're thinking about how it bothers you. You're thinking about how it stresses you. I could keep going on. You're thinking about you, you, you. And the more you think about you, the more discouraged, the more depressed, and the farther down you go. But all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know what? I remember the pastor preaching about that. And you know what? God maybe just let me go through this so I can help somebody else. And all of a sudden, your heart starts rising back up. I mean, your spirit starts rising again. I mean, the Spirit of God on the inside of you. All of a sudden, you find yourself being comforted by the Spirit of God living on the inside of you because your mind is lining up with what this book says. That is, it's lining up with truth, and you're starting to believe what God says in His Word. There's a reason and a purpose for this suffering that I'm going through. It's not because I just made a bad decision. It's not because I've sinned and God's chastising me. It's because it may be that God is going to use this to help somebody else. That is, to encourage somebody else, put my arm around somebody else, or to be an example to somebody else. That is, somebody that I might not even know about is looking at me, and I'm setting an example for them right here in the middle of my suffering. If you'll understand that and get a hold of what the Bible says here, then you'll be able to do what the Apostle Paul is telling us to do here, and that is to praise God right in the middle of your suffering. You'll be able to praise Him, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is. No matter how difficult it is, because you know God is using this, first of all, for your good, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. It's good for you to go through the suffering you're going through, or God wouldn't have allowed it to happen. It's going to help you and benefit you, but I tell you, it's going to be a blessing to other people as well. If you get a hold of that, it'll help you praise God right in the middle of your suffering. It sure will. You remember the story, I know, and I'll close with it. It's found, Matthew records it for us in Matthew 14. But you remember the story whenever Jesus sent His disciples out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And they got out there while Jesus went up into a mountain and he was praying in that mountain. And long in the middle of the night, this storm is raging, and the disciples, they should have been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee hours before, but they're still out there in the middle of the ocean. They're not going anywhere. The wind is blowing against them, and it's just a chaotic scene. Let's use the word chaos. It is a chaotic scene on the Sea of Galilee. It reminds me of life. Right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of the chaos. And do you know who showed up in the middle of their chaos? Why, the one who'd been praying for them actually showed up right there in the middle of that storm. He came walking on the water. Now listen, it's no problem for God to do that. And it reminds me of the fact that no matter what kind of storm you get into, it's no problem for God to get there to help you. He can walk on the water. He can do whatever it takes to get where you are in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your storm. He can get where you are. And when he showed up on the scene, all of a sudden they were scared. They thought it was some kind of a ghost or spirit they were seeing. It was dark. They didn't have lights like we do today. And it was dark out there. And they just see a shadowy person out there. And it's the wind is blowing. And there's water everywhere. It's chaos. And all of a sudden then they hear him, don't they? It's Jesus. He speaks. And I tell you, it seems like when you're in the middle of chaos and the Lord shows up and he just begins to speak to you, oh, how wonderful it is. All of a sudden now you're feeling a little bit of comfort, aren't you? Yeah. Peter's the guy who says, Lord, if it's you, King James says, bid me, allow me to get out of this boat and come walking on the water. That's Peter. Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, come on, Peter. And the Bible says that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water in the middle of that chaos. And he's walking towards the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I like to use my imagination just a little bit. And that is, as Peter's walking on that water, probably as long as he was close enough to get back to the boat, he was doing all right. But when he got far enough away from the boat that he couldn't get back to it, that's whenever he probably looked around him and thought, oh boy, am I in trouble now, right? And all of a sudden, he began to sink. You know what it's like, don't you? When you're in the middle of chaos and you start sinking. I mean, you're emotionally, mentally and emotionally, financially, health-wise, whatever it might be, you just feel like you're going down, that you're sinking. But listen, there's somebody still there in the middle of the storm. And his name is Jesus. You know what Peter did? He just cried out to him. He said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says that Jesus reached down and picked him up out of the water. And they got in the boat. And the storm stopped. Now that's real comfort, isn't it? He was there to help him through that storm. When Peter thought he was going down and he was finished, the Lord reached down and he helped him. Peter just cried out to him, folks. He just came to him. And just cried out to him. Just like the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And you'll find grace to help in time of need. That's what he did. He just cried out to the Lord. And Jesus was there. And he helped him. And do you know what Peter did when he got back in the boat? I've just got to read it to you. And then I'll close. The Bible says, and when they were come into the ship, verse 32, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and they worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Oh, that's right. Right in the middle of the chaos, they're just praising him. And the reason why is because they know now he really is the God of all comfort. Who can comfort us in all of our tribulation? No matter how bad the storm is, no matter how low I'm sinking. I don't know how low Peter got. But using my imagination, I just see his nose, the only thing above water, when Jesus reached down and got him. Oh, listen. They just started praising him. You can too. If you want to move from chaos to comfort, you got to learn how to praise him. Right in the middle of your circumstances. And he's worthy of it because he is truly the God of all comfort. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're trying to reveal to us and trying to teach us. And I pray that you'll help us tonight. God, there are those, Lord, who are burdened down that need to get their burdens before you and lay them before your throne of grace. There are those, Father, who are sinking that need to cry out to you. Father, there are those who are here that have experienced your presence in a powerful way in their life and your comfort, Lord, in an undeniable way that need to be ministering and reaching out to others to help them. So would you give us direction about how to do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.